Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our special shiur with the Boca Raton Synagogue Midrashah. Happy Chodesh Adar Aleph to everybody. Chodesh Tov, Ge'in Chodesh. Should be a month of Besoros Tovas. Interesting month, Adar Aleph, because it's Ibrashan, it's a leap year, so it's called an Adar Aleph, but we don't have the theme, of course, of Adar Beis, and there's no idea Mishnechnas Adar Marbim Besimcha technically, but it is an extra Adar. It's really the gift of time. So when I was thinking of what we should talk about this month in this year, I was thinking that it's the season of Geula, because Adar and Nisan go together. Somchin Geula, the Geula Chazal say, we put redemption of Purim, from being saved from Achashverosh and Haman, next to the redemption of Pesach. And I want to talk specifically, we're going to be going today into the Gemara, into Masecha Sota, into different teachings of Chazal, into the fact that the Yeshua came about through the woman. And that's what I want to focus on in the duration of tonight's year, right? This season of Geula, and we won't be talking about really Esther, but we're journeying through the book of Shemos, and we know that the book of Shemos tells us about the Geulas Mitzrayim, and the Geulas Mitzrayim, which is celebrated during the month of Nisan, which begins this season of Geula here, was really brought about because of the women. So I am going to start screen sharing right away with you for the handout that I prepared. Here we go. Okay, so I need someone to tell me if they could see that it says here Shemos 1:13 through 14. Yes, you could. Okay, thank you very much. Sometimes I'm told I share the wrong screen by accident, but good. Okay, so let's go into enough. So the pasuk tells us in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, okay, Shemos Perek Al Pasukim Yud Gimel through Yadad, what you see on my screen here, and it's going to be a very text-based shiur tonight. I prepared a very text-based shiur, but we are going to be translating everything that I say, so do not get nervous if you see so much text in front of you. We're going to be translating everything. We're talking about Shubin Mitzrayim, and the pasuk tells us, Ve'avidu Mitzrayim Es B'nei Yisrael B'farach. The Egyptians worked the children of Israel Befarach, and we have to identify what Befarach is, and that's what the Gemara is going to tell us. Vayimaru as chayim ba'avodah kasha, they embittered their lives with hard work, b'chomer u'bilavinim, with bricks and with mortar, I should say, b'chol avodah basada, and all work in the field, is kol avodah samashar avdu behem Befarach, all the work that they worked in Befarach. Now, if you notice that in Shemos Pasuk Yud Gimel here, it says Befarach, and in Pasuk Yud Dalet, it also says Befarach. So two times repeats this idea that B'nai Yisrael are working Befarach. I'll just tie it into this week's parsha, actually parses Truma. Okay, Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch points out something very, very interesting. Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch in his commentary to Chumash very much focuses on the Shorashim as a way of interpreting the meaning and the lessons in Chumash. And he points out in his commentary to Parsha Shmos that this word Befarach, Pei Reish Chaf, in this case, Pei Reish Chaf Sofis, only occurs one other time. We translate it as back-breaking labor. Egyptians worked the children of Israel with back-breaking labor. But in the Lashon HaTorah, it's Pei Reish Chaf. From Shamshar Fal Hirsch points out that this occurs only other one time in Chumash, and that is in this week's parasha in regard to the Mishkan. In this week's parasha, Parshas Truma, we start finding out all the details about Binyan HaMishkan, the tabernacle that we will build, where the Shekhinah will reside. And there is one of the implements, if you will, one of the materials that was woven in the Mishkan is known as the paroches. Okay, so generally, if I ask people when's the only other time this root word occurs, it's very hard to identify because it seems to have nothing to do with this Befarach. This is referring to back-breaking labor. That's referring to the partition in the Mishkan between the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKadashim. Okay, in between the Holies and the Holy of Holies, you had a partition, a woven paroches, divided between two spaces. Now, we know we have a rule that in Lashon HaKodesh, if two words share a shoresh, a root, even if they seem to be totally unconnected, like in this situation, the Egyptians worked the children of Israel Befarach, and in the Mishkan you have a paroches, a partition that separates between the Holy and the Holy of Holies, so there has to be a connection between them. So Rav Shamshar Fal Hirsch says something very, very startling. And keep in mind, he died in 1888. He was, of course, a German Rav, scholar, thinker, author. Sham Shemfal her says, Parach is a partition, it's a divide, just like by the Mishkan. And if we do not put up a partition between ourselves and the Umos HaOlam, then they put up the partition for us. We know that in Egypt, we have sources that tell us the Medrash, they stopped doing Bris Milah. We know that they started to live amongst the Egyptians. We know that they were doing Avodah Zarah just like the Egyptians were doing Avodah Zarah. They were no longer in Goshen. They spread out throughout the land. They stopped, again, circumcision. They took upon themselves Avodah Zarah. They fell to a very low level of impurity. And Rav Sham Shafalher says, if we don't put up the paroches, the partition of holiness, separating between ourselves and the Umas HaOlam, the Rachmana Litzlan, they will remind us and put up the farach upon us. Very, very powerful, powerful idea. But that's really not the focus of the Shir, only because it relates to Parshas Truma. So you see that it's two times, Befarach and then Befarach. So let us go to the Gemara, okay? And these texts that I've chosen from the Gemara really highlight for us. What I want to highlight in tonight's year is the koach of Jewish women to implement and to facilitate and to bring the Geula. So the Gemara tells us in Masechah Sota, like you see here, Yer Aleph, right at the very end of Amud Aleph through Amud Beis. Vayavidu Mitzrayim es b'nei Yisrael Befarach. The Egyptians worked, the children of Israel was slave labor. Rabbi Elazar says, Beferach, with a soft mouth. What does that mean with a soft mouth? Parach should be read as a contraction of perach, a soft mouth. So down here you have Rashi on the Gemara. Beferach, what does it mean? Mashchum bidvarim ubischar ad shehigilum lavoda. In the beginning, they tricked the Jewish people. They persuaded them with words, and in the beginning they gave them minimum wage, they paid them until they got them used to the work. So it was trickery, it was deceit. The Farach means with a soft mouth. The Egyptians tricked the Jews into becoming slaves. They said, come to work for us, it's good for the economy, it's good for society. They enticed them with words. In the beginning they paid them, and ultimately they made them into slave labor. And I heard Rabbi Zavlov say the other week a very interesting idea. Why is it that when Moshe wanted to take the Jews to freedom, he says, we're going for 3 days to worship? That's lying. Do the Jews trick other people? Are the Jews deceitful? Why didn't we say we want to leave? So one thing you could say is that's pikuach nefesh docha kol, right? If we tell them we want to leave forever, he'll never let us go. Because it's pikuach nefesh, we got to get out of here. Rabbi Zev Lev proposed something else. It's mida keneged mida. Paro and the Egyptians tricked us into becoming slaves. Since Hashem pays back measure for measure, mida keneged mida, we left Egypt through trickery. The same way the Egyptians tricked us into becoming slaves, so too we tricked Paro into freeing us from slavery. So I thought that that was a very beautiful idea. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar Amar, but Perach, with a soft mouth, like we saw in Rashi, they persuaded them with words and with wages until they got them accustomed to the work, at which point they made them slaves. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, Befricha. What is Befricha? So let's look at Rashi. Beshivran Guf, Umasnayim Vechazaka. They broke them. They broke their bodies and their hips with great strength. So befricha, befarach, is either one of two things. Either with a soft mouth, they tricked them with words, or befricha, they mamish broke them. Shivra and guf, umesnaim v'chazaka. They broke their bodies. They broke their hips. They broke their very selves with strong labor. Vayimaru aschayim bavoda kasha. They embittered their lives with hard work. Bechomer v'levenim, with bricks and with mortar. That's like what the next pasuk tells us here. Pasuk Yadalad. Amar Rava, b'tchila b'chomer b'levenim. Rava says, in the beginning, it was bricks and mortar, ula basof, and at the end, b'chol avoda basada, es kol avodos ha-mesher avdu b'hem b'farach. At the end, they started off with just bricks and mortar, and at the end, there was all kinds of work, anything that they could work them with this idea of parach, back-breaking labor, shivron guf. Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Shahayu Machlifin Malachas Anashim Lanashim. So how degrading and demeaning was the work? They would switch the work of the men for the women's work, Umilachas Nashim Lanashim, and they would switch to the women's work and give them men's work. And what does Rashi say on the Gemara? Vizohi Kasha, Shalohayu Agilim Bakach. This is even harder labor because they were not used to this. They were given work that did not go with their temperament. They were given work that did not go with their nature. So it wasn't only slave labor, but a person person excels at something generally that fits with their temperament and with their characteristics and with their talents, abilities, and capabilities. Here the Egyptians switched. They gave the man the woman's work and they gave the woman the man's work. And Rashi says this is even more difficult because it's something that they were not used to. And the Gemara says that even those who say that the first time it says beferach in verse 13, it's referring to a soft mouth. The second beferach in verse 14, everybody agrees this refers to hard labor. So I started here, even before we get to the famous statement of Chazal, which is in the merit of the righteous woman, her forefathers were redeemed, just to give us an idea of how torturous was this time in Egypt. We're so used to the stories, the biblical narratives, that we don't appreciate what our forefathers were living through. And even though we spent a few minutes going through this piece of Gemara, we still don't appreciate what they were going through. But certainly we know they were living in a time of trickery and deceit. They were living in a time of a dishonest government that persuaded them with words and minimum wages and ultimately made them into slaves. It was mamash shivran guf umasnai v'chazaka. It was such terrible labor that broke their entire body with this strong work. And we know that it was even more demeaning because they took away their very essence. They made the woman feel like men. They made the men feel like women. And so besides for the work itself, they made them into such demeaning individuals, so to speak. That's what they tried to take away. And now the Gemara continues with a very famous statement, which you might have heard before, and I'm sure that you have. And here it is. In the context of this slave labor illustration, the Gemara then says, Darash Rav Avira. Rav Avira expounds. And here it is. I bolded it for you, bishar nashim tzidkaniu shahayu ba'oso hadar negalo Yisrael mimitzrayim. In the merit of the righteous woman in that generation, Israel were redeemed from Egypt. So that is a term that is very often thrown around. I don't mean that in a demeaning sense. I mean that in a serious sense. People quote that very often. Here it is. It's from the Gemara Masechah Sota, Yura Alf Amud Beis, in the context specifically of telling me how backbreaking, how crushing, how painful the labor was, the situation in Egypt was. The Gemara says, wait a minute. There is one gender that did not give up. There is one gender that maintained faith and hope in redemption. There is one gender that maintained their dignity and even gave faith to the other one. And who was that? The woman. In the merit of the righteous woman, Bishar, in the reward, I should say, of the righteous woman that were in that generation, Nigalu Yisrael Mitzrayim, Israel was redeemed from Egypt. And in the art school, Gemara, that I used to prepare this shiur, the footnote says something very, very interesting, which is in my footnote, but if you can't see because it's small, I'm going to read it to you, that the Rashbam writes to Maseches Pesachim, as well as other sources, because of this statement, women are obligated in the mitzvahs of Pesach just as men are, even though women are generally exempt from mitzvahs, Aseh Shazvan Grama, excuse me, from time-bound positive mitzvahs, which Leal Seder and Pesach certainly is, right? Like I said, I could sit down tonight and have four cups of wine and, you know, kizayis and matzah and mara dipped in charoses and a hillel sandwich and a shulchan arich and I would just be a glutton. I wouldn't be fulfilling any mitzvah of anything. You would just say that's total achilas gasa. She is not doing kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani. She's being a novel b'shul satara. Who could eat so much? Who could drink so much on one day? Oh, if you do it on Leal Seder, you fulfill the mitzvah d'oraisa. If you do it on tonight, right? Or the Bays Adar Alav Tafshim Pei Bays, you'd say she's a glutton and she needs help for overeating. So the women are obligated in the mitzvahs of Leal HaSeder in the proper time. They're clearly mitzvahs Aseh She'asman Grama, time bound positive precept. Like I showed you, I can't do it tonight and say I fulfilled the mitzvah of Leal Seder and Arba Kosos and Achilas Matzah Mar. No, you didn't. But if I do it then, I fulfill. Why? Because it's specifically bound to a certain time. So you might think that women are putter. Why should women have to be obligated in these mitzvahs? So the Gemara says, you know why? Bishar nashim tzikanu shahayu ba'oso hadar nigali Yisrael mimitzrayim. Because of the righteous women of that generation, Israel was redeemed. The Gemara mamash says that. Okay? This is not chas v'shalom propaganda of feminists. This is Torah min ha-shamayim here. The Gemara tells you it's because of the Jewish women. And now the Gemara fills us in so beautifully. At the time that the women in Egypt would go to draw water, they needed water, they didn't turn on a sink, you had to go down to some well. So what would happen? Hashem made a miracle. And he prepared for them little fish in their pitchers. And when they would draw up the pitcher, they would find, wow, you know what's in the pitcher? You know what's in this jug that we just drew? We didn't only get water, we got half water and we got half little fish. Uvaos, and they would come. Vishov toshte kaderos, and they put up to warm two pots. They would come to the fire. Remember, they went to draw water, and Hashem made a big nes. And instead of only getting water out of the well, they got these little fish, because it's like the Egyptians were feeding them so well. So now they have two pots, one of fish and one of water. Shtei kaderos, two pots. Acha shel chamin, from the word cham. One, they would warm the water. Acha shel dagim, and one, they would boil the fish. Umolichos etza ba'alehen lasada. These righteous women, who were working as hard as the men. In fact, I'm going to prove something very interesting to you that when I was preparing the art scroll footnote pointed out that I never considered before. And I'm going to read it to you from down here. I don't know if you could see it. It's smaller because it's my footnote, but I'm going to read it to you. It is noteworthy that the woman should have been even more exhausted than the men. Why? If you remember, we just learned that the Egyptians switched the labor. The women were performing men's work. The men were performing the woman's work. So it should be that the woman had less koach than the men. It should be the women were more exhausted than the men. Why? Quote, they had to perform more physically taxing labor, as the Gemara has stated above. Nevertheless, it was these very women who could technically, who could righteously say, we are more exhausted than you. With their righteousness and their concern for the survival of the nation, they found the inner strength to, quote, adorn themselves, entice their husbands, and ensure that children would be conceived and children would be born. So I never, when I was praying this year, that was a footnote I mamish never noticed before. And it gives a whole new dimension to the strength of these women. Not only were they able to continue and draw water and get fish and warm the water and warm the fish, and you're going to see what they would now do with this to their exhausted husbands, but it was even greater. It was a Herculean task because they were carrying boulders all day. I don't know exactly. They were chopping wood all day. They were building the pyramids all the day. The men were sewing. So they should have been more exhausted. So it's an even greater courage than just saying they enticed their husbands. It's a higher level because they rose out of their extreme befarach. Remember what befarach means? It doesn't say that they worked the men befarach and not the women. Everybody was worked befarach. B'shivran guf u'mesnayim v'chazakah. They were all worked with this brokenness, this crushing labor that broke their body. It was such harsh labor. Nevertheless, the women arose over this. And we already said this, small fish in their pitchers, and they would draw half water and half fish. They would come home and they would have two fires, one to warm the water and one to cook the fish. And now what do they do? So they have warm water and they have fish. So Rashi says, look here, Rashi and the Gemara. What was the warm water for? It was to bathe their husbands, to wash their husbands' feet in the field. They didn't give up. Umalichos eitza ba'alei in lasada. They went to their husbands in the field. Umarchitzos osan, and they would wash them, like Rashi says. Their chotz raglei ba'alei in basada. Visochos osan, they would anoint them. Umaachilos osan, they would feed their husbands. Umashkos osan, they would give them to drink. Unbelievable. Viniskakos lahen bein shufatayim, and they would have relations with them between the shufatayim. So what is shufatayim? What does this mean? So it makes it sound like it's an open field and all the husbands and wives are having relations together. So it's very nice that they kept the people going, but it doesn't sound so tsanua. Rashi tells you what's bein shufatayim, between the boundaries. So Rashi says bein mitzarei hasados. So mitzarei is not like the word mitzrayim, but it also means in a narrow place. Okay, so at the border, at the perimeter, at the edge of the field somehow. Mekomos tsinuin. Meitzer gvul hasada gvoha. Mikan v'chaveiro mikan v'charitz be'emza. No, it wasn't that everybody was in the field together, if you've ever wondered about this teaching of Gemara. Excuse me, at the edge of the field, where tsanua places, mekomot snu'in, and there was a border of the field, and there was a high wall or some sort of division here, and another high wall or division here, and there was a trench or a ditch, if you will, in between these partitions. So it was a tsanua situation, but the woman understood that it was desperate times. My mother used to say this expression, desperate times call for desperate measures. So if normally you would be, you know, intimate with your husband in a different sense, these women understood that they had to take matters into their own hands, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was totally maskim. He's the one who gave give him the fish to prepare to feed their husbands. He's the one who says, "Bischar nashim tzivkanu shayu ba'oso adar negal Yisra'am in Mitzrayim." It was in the merit of these righteous women in every generation that Israel was redeemed from Egypt. And we see that this koach of heroism translates and passes forward to the women of every single generation. We know about Esther Hamalka, which will be in the next Adar Be'ezrat Hashem, but the Rav Salvechik says that she was a frail maiden upon whose shoulders providence placed the burden of responsibility. The whole nation depended on Queen Esther. The whole nation depended on her to save Am Yisrael. What does Mordechai say? Imacharesh tacharish. He could give her all the advice he wants, but it's up to her to say, "Okay, I will walk down the hallway." He could nag her from today till tomorrow, but it's up to her to say, "I have the courage and I will go to Achashverosh." And he says, "Imacharesh tacharish be'esazos. Esther, do not be silent at this time. Do you think you could escape in the king's palace more than any other Jew?" And she understands that, quote, "the burden of responsibility, of divine responsibility, has been placed upon her frail and lonely shoulders." And there's a koach that has been transmitted to each and every generation. I came across, actually last week when I was in Florida, I came across an amazing article in the Jewish Action, the OU Jewish Action, that talks about five different great rabbanim who reminisce about their mothers. The Eim HaBanim Smecha, Rabbi Sachar Shlomo Taichal, Rabbi Eliezer Waldenberg, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Soloveitchik, very famously Zatzal, and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. The piece by Rav Aaron Lichtenstein I actually just read this morning. I read this the other day and I was so moved by this. Okay, this is from the Eim HaBanim Smecha. His dates are 1885 to 1945. He was actually murdered in the Holocaust. He's very famous that he used to be anti-Zionist. And then the Holocaust broke out and he ruled the Eim HaBanim Smecha, hiding in an attic in Hungary during the war. And ultimately, he did not survive. And he totally changed his viewpoint, and his viewpoint became one that the establishment of the state was very, very important and of utmost importance, and the Jews needed a safe haven and a place. I have not yet, I have the Sefer, I have not yet learned through it. It's on the very long list of things to get to, but he's very, very famous, Rabbi Sachar Shlomo Taichal. So he says as follows, I never saw this before. I was so moved. I remember when I was 8 years old, and I was learning Cheskas Habatim in Bava Basra, 8 years old, and he's learning Bava Basra. My mother would wake up early on Friday to bake for Shabbos, and she would bake a small sweet cake just for me, since I was learning Torah. She did that small sweet cake just for me to make the Torah dear in my eyes and to make my heart excited for our holy Torah. One time her baking was delayed, so when I came back from shul after Shachris, my cake had not yet been baked. "Mommy, mommy," I'm quoting, "Mommy, mommy, where is my cake?" Because I was hungry. He was a child. My mother responded wisely, "What can I do, dear son? The cake is still in the oven, but I will give you advice to quiet your hunger. Know, my son, that the Holy Gemara has the effect of quieting hunger and satisfies living beings just like the bread and the cake that I make for you. Take the Gemara and review what you studied this week, and you will be full. You will see that I am correct, and you will not feel any more hunger. On the contrary, you will taste honey sweeter than from the comb." Keep that in mind, because the next piece of Gemara, I hope we're going to get to it, is going to tell us about the honey that the angels fed the Jewish babies after they were born. "On the contrary, you will taste honey sweeter than the comb, a taste sweeter even than cake." Hearing her pleasant words, he reminisces, spoken with a smile and with warmth, burning with love for Torah, to the heart of a small child, to excite his heart for our holy Torah, I had no doubt what she said was true, and I believed it was actually so. I believed my mother's words that when a person sits down when he's hungry, and when he sits down to learn, he becomes satisfied. I went energetically. I took the Gemara. I reviewed the week's lessons with great desire until I forgot my hunger, and even the cake was forgotten. In the meantime, the cake finished, I'll tell you, make me feel like a little bit of a bad mother. I do not wake up early Friday morning to bake individual cakes. In the meantime, the cake finished baking. And I was thinking maybe I should start going to the bakery early Friday morning to get the small cakes. In the meantime, the cake finished baking. And while I was learning, my mother came and she brought me the cake. And she said, quoting from Koheles, eat your bread with joy. With methods like these, she endeared Torah to me, and this is what gave me the strength to withstand all the trials that have come over me until this point. This last sentence again. This is what has given me the strength to withstand all the trials that have come over me until this point. So these righteous women would draw water and fish. And really, like the article footnote pointed out, which is something I never considered before, they should have been more tired than the husbands. They were doing the harder labor. Husbands were doing the women's job. They were doing the men's job. And yet it was them who did not give up. It was them who woke up to, quote, bake the cake. It was them who encouraged their husbands. It was them who washed their feet in the fields. It was them who found a place to beat Tzanua, like we saw, at the edge of the field and ensure the continuity of Knesset Yisrael. And it was like the Gemara says, even though it was a time of Befarach, Perach and Fricha and Shivron Guf, and even though it was a time of Yemaru Es Chayim Ba'avoda Kasha, like we saw Bechomer U'Bilavenim, it was the woman who launched the season of Geula, and it is a koach that is transmitted through each and every generation. I was just so taken by that piece from the Eibar Banim Smeich. I'm going back to screen share. Okay, can you see where I am over here? Yeah, it says B'Yaros Midrashad or Aleph on top. Yeah? Okay, very good. Thank you so much. So we're continuing in the Gemara. We're still Masechah Sota, Yir Aleph Amud Beis. Okay? So the last thing we read is that they would go to the fields with the hot water. They would wash their husbands, anoint their husbands, give them to eat, give them to drink. Like this, the husbands would become aroused and the woman would have relations. And what they were doing was ensuring the continuity of Knesset Yisrael. Did we say the last thing? Yeah. V'kevan shemis abros, so what would happen? What would happen is that they would conceive. And now the woman would become pregnant. Ba'os lebatehem, they came to their houses. V'kevan shemagiyaz man moledehen, it was time for them to give birth. Okay, they conceived. Now it's time to deliver. Holchus v'yoldos besada, they went back to the fields where they conceived. Perhaps because if the Egyptians found them, we know that the babies would have been thrown right into the river. So it's not just that they conceived, but they probably had to hide their pregnancy. And they probably were not saved from the slave labor while they were expecting. And then at the time of birth, they had to ensure that the babies would not be a statistic of kola ben ha-yu'ar tashlichuhu. V'yaldos besada tachat ha-tapuach, and they would give birth in the fields under the apple tree. And the Gemara quotes the pasuk from Shir HaShirim 8:5. Shenemar perches pasukei tachat ha-tapuach orar ticha. Under the apple tree, I aroused you. Rashi says, this is actually referring to the babies. Under the apple tree, I aroused you. Look at Rashi on the Gemara. Let's say, mimei imecha. When the Gemara quotes this pasuk under the apple tree, I arouse you, it's actually referring to the babies. Hashem aroused the babies to come out from the wombs of their mother. So now the babies are born in the fields. So what are they going to do? There's no midwife, there's no hospital, there's no baby nursery, there's nothing to swaddle the baby. They're in a field. And the child was aroused to come out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sholeach mishmei maram, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent from on high angels. Misha minaker u'mishaper osan. So we know Shaper Shifra. She was called Shifra because she beautified the child. What is minaker? So Rashi says minakeh. Hashem would send angels to clean the child. Minaker is to clean. Somebody needed to wash off a baby after it came out. What is mishaper? I found this to be extremely interesting. So a baby in the womb is pretty squashed in there. And then it comes out and it needs to stretch out. So look at this Rashi. Kimosha osin the tinokos liyashev es avareham. When the baby comes out from being all squashed, you need to fix their limbs. You need to put everything in the right place, so to speak. You need to help them stretch out. So these angels not only clean the babies, Kimosho seen the tinokos, Rashi says, just like we do to babies, liyashev es avareihem, to restore their limbs, to put them in the right place, ulisaknein shenitakin mitzar haleda, any trauma that the child underwent from the delivery, need someone to fix him up. So that's exactly what these angels would do. They would clean the child and they would put everything in order after the delivery. Where am I up to? That was Rashi. Misha menakir mishaper osen kachayezu shem mishaper sasavalad. So Hashem sent angels from Shmei Maram, from the heavenly heights, to clean up and straighten and beautify the child, just like animals in the field. An animal cleans its own baby. I'm sure you've seen animal documentaries. The lion will use its tongue. The cat will use her Ratan, they'll clean up their own babies. The monkey will pick, if you've ever seen, they pick like thorns and thistles out of each other. So just like an animal doesn't need a midwife or a hospital or, you know, an ICU, NICU for the newborn babies, a regular nursery unit. So too, Hashem sent angels to take care of this job like animals, like the Pasuk says. And this is a Pasuk from Yechezkel. Umaladetich b'yom huladas osach. And on the day of giving birth, lo karash areich, ubamayim lo ruchatz limish'it. There was no one to clean you up. There was no one to feed you, and there was no one to wash you. So the Pasuk from Yechezkel says that on the day of the birth, there was no one to do those tasks. So Hashem says, I will do it for you. Like Rashi says on the Gemara, lo karash areich, lo hayalacham miyaledes, lachtoch tibur havalad. There was no miyaledes, there was no midwife to cut the umbilical cord. It's unbelievable, okay? So, you know, 1,000 years ago, you needed someone, like Rashi's telling you, he's bringing his own experience. And that was happening in Egypt as well. Who's going to cut the umbilical cord? Who's going to clean up the baby? Who's going to strain any limbs that got a little bent out of shape, pun intended, from the delivery? So Hashem sent angels to do all these jobs for these new babies. Why? Because the woman had such mesiras nefesh. So kaviyachal, Hashem was moser his nefesh, kaviyachal, to do for them as a reward. They wanted so badly to ensure the continuity of Knesset Israel. So therefore, Hashem said, I will be a partner with you. One second, please. I just thought of something. Shift this. When I said the word partner, it struck me. That's the same letters they lay between the Shifatayim. You already saw Rashi, it was a tsunua, enclosed place at the edge of the field. But it's interesting, to be a shittuf is actually the same letter of scramble, to be a partner with Hashem. That's very interesting. So they wanted to make a shittfus with Hashem, to be a shotev, to be a partner with God. They did so by lying between the shifatayim tsunua in the field. So Hashem partnered with them to ensure that their efforts would be successful. Wow. And so he sent angels because there was no midwives, like Rashi says, Lo hayalecha mi'aldos, lachtoch tibra v'lad. Who's going to cut the umbilical cord? Who's going to be minakir, which means minakeh? Who's going to clean the child? Who's going to strain out the limbs? Hashem said, I'll take care of it. Furthermore, what else did the angels do? So I told you to remember the piece by the Ema Banim Smecha, where he talks about his mother says that if you learn Torah, it'll be sweeter than my cake. It will be sweeter than honey. No, the article did make me feel a little bad. I thought, whoa, maybe, you know, I don't know. Maybe I should be doing something like this to encourage the Torah. I don't know. Maybe I'll just try and get to the bakery. Umilaki lahen shnei yugulin, echad shal shaman v'echad shal dvash. Furthermore, the angels did something else. They would gather stones, round stones for the baby. That's according to the article translation. Shnei yugulin, these stones for the baby. And they would miraculously suckle oil and honey out of these stones, shenemar, like the pasuk says, ve'nikel dvash miseli, were able to suckle honey from a rock, v'shemen, and oil. So they were sustained through miraculous intervention by God. So the woman went lamala mina teva, they went beyond their teva, they found superhuman capabilities to keep the nation going. So Hashem rewarded them with superhuman angels, literally, above teva. This is totally above teva, to sustain these children. The bad guys found out, you know, there's something going on here. These women are sleeping with their husbands in the field. Then they're conceiving. Then they're going back to the field to have babies. And God is sending angels to sustain them. And we're trying to throw the babies into the river. Gevalt, would you believe what's going on? The cave in Shemakirin Behem Mitzrim. So it wasn't so pasha. The Mitzrim recognized what was happening. Ba in the Hargon. And they come. The firing squad comes. They come to kill them. V'nasalam neis, a miracle was done. V'nivla'in b'karka, they were swallowed up, the babies, into the ground. U'mevi'in shvorim v'chorishin al gaban. So the Egyptians were smart. You babies were swallowed up into the ground. We are going to bring oxen to plow over you. Rachman al etzlan, Rachman al etzlan. When they used to have Jews hiding in the Holocaust, the Nazis would come in and they would feel or think or have been taught that there were Jews hiding there, so they would, you know, shoot through the mattresses or shoot through the walls to make sure that they cleaned out everything that was hiding. Hashem Yirachem Aleinu. So we see there's precedent for this. They brought oxen and they plowed on the backs of the babies, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, Al Gabi Charshu Charshim. Over my back it was plowed. La'acha Shaholchin Hayu Mivatz Bitzin V'Yotzin Ke'esav Hasada. However, the babies survived, and after the Egyptians had their oxen left, they would sprout out like plants of the field. And now the Gemara quotes a pasuk that we say in Leil HaSeder. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, this pasuk should be familiar to you. We say it in the Haggadah Shal Pesach. Revava kitzemech hasada nisaticha. Right? It's from Yecheskel, Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Zayin. It's on my footnote. Revava kitzemech hasada nisaticha. Vatirbi vatigdali vatavoi ba'adai adayim. Shadayim nechonu isa'arech tzimech va'ad eirem ve'arya. If it sounds familiar, it should. It's part of Magid in the Haggadah Shal Pesach. So the Gemara quotes that here. Revava, I made you plenty, like the herbage of the field. So what the Gemara is saying, quoting this pasuk from Yecheskel, is that the baby sprouted from the ground, just like grass sprouts from the ground. The kevan shemisgadlin ba'im adarim adar mevateim, and the children would grow up and they would come in flocks to their houses. Shenemar. Now the Gemara quotes in the second half of the pasuk from Yecheskel. Vatirbi, you grew up. Vatigdali, you vatirbi, you were many. Vatigdali, you grew up. Vatavoi ba'adai adai, and you came with great beauty. But the Gemara says, Al tikri ba'adai adayim. Don't read it ba'adai adayim. You came with great beauty. Ela be'edre adarim. You came in flocks. So these little children were sustained in the fields. When they came to plow over them, they were hidden. The plows didn't reach them. They sprouted out like herbage from the fields. It's just such amazing imagery. And it's not a fairy tale. It's not Mother Goose and Grimm. Chas v'sham, havda alf alfe avdals. We're talking about Mamish Torah, Mina Shamayim. And Chazal are telling us that this is how we survived in Egypt. But why did Hashem do this? Hashem likes to run the world in Teva. Hashem does not like, so to speak, to run miracles. There was a story in the Gemara told of a certain, I don't remember, man who was able to nurse his child. And the Gemara says, woe unto him that a miracle was done for him. Hashem likes to run the world in Teva. Hashem likes when the sun rises in the east and when it sets in the west. Because that's how it works. But why did Hashem do these miracles? Because we could understand that the woman went lamala min their teva. They were also exhausted. They were also beaten. Their bodies were also broken. They were also enslaved. But they went above their capabilities. So Hashem kaviyachol went beyond, so to speak, his capabilities to reward them. And he did these tremendous miracles. And it's all bischar. You saw the lashon in the Gemara. Nashim tzidkanios ba'oso adar. Nigalu Yisrael mimitzrayim. So don't read it, you came with great beauty. Read it, be'edre adarim. You came in flocks. U'kushenigla kosh baruch hu alayam. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself, and now the Gemara ties this, these same babies by Kriyas Yamsuf, it says when Hashem revealed himself, which is Parshas Beshalach, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Heim hikiru tchila, these babies recognized Hashem first. Shenem arzak keili vandei, this is my God and I will exalt him. When the people said, this is my God, the Gemara is saying it was these children who said first. Heim hikiru sharao shchina. So kvar, the Gemara says, you know why they recognized God? They already saw shchina. Excuse me, when did they see Shechina? When they were in the field surviving by miracles. So when it came to Yamsuf and God revealed himself, when the heavens opened, Ra Shivcha Alayam, Mashallah Ra'a Nevi'im, another Girsa Mashallah Ra'u Yechazko Ben Buzi. It was these babies who were now adults who said, Zach Katie, that's my God. How do you know? Because I already saw him. That's what Rashi says, Sharu Shechina Sokvar. Zekedi, that's my God, Shara Isikvar. I've seen him before. I know who that is. That's my Ribbono Shel Olam. And then the Gemara, that was all Sota, Yud Aleph, Amud Beis. And now we're going to the next Amud, which is, next off, Yud Beis, Amud Aleph. Okay, so the Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Vaitzav Paro, so again, an idea of what this time was like, what the oppression was like. Vaitzav Paro, the Chol Amul, and Paro commanded his whole nation. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Oh, sorry. The Gemara is quoting the pasuk from the end of Perak Aleph in Shmos. Perak Aleph pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayitzav Paro lechol amo lemar kol haben hayuor hayuor tashlichu. Paro becomes so desperate because the midwives are keeping the babies alive and they're not breaking the necks on the birthing stone like he says. That finally he says every male baby into the river. That's the final pasuk of Perak Aleph. Vayitzav Paro lechol amo. Paro said to his entire nation, every male, Israelite and Egyptian into the river. Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Af al Amo Gazar. He even commanded that the Egyptian baby should be killed. For Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina, Shalosh Gzeiros Gazar. Paro came up with three decrees for this infanticide program. But Chila im Benhu Vamitim Oso. If he is a boy, he shall be put to death. Im Basi Usechayun. The girls can live. U lebasof kol ben yara tashlichu u basof al amogazar. So what were the 3 degrees? First, if it is a boy, when you see on the birthing stone, kill him. The next, every Jewish male into the river. The next, even Egyptian babies into the river. And the Rashi says on the Gemara, why? Tanchuma, quoting Medrash Tanchuma, Yom Shenolad Moshe. Why did Paro want to kill the Egyptian babies? On the day that Moshe was born, Amru Itzdagninov, his astrologer, said, Hayom Nolad Moshe and Shal Yisrael. Today, the Savior of Israel is being born. Ve'ein Anu Yodim Im Mitzrihu O Yehudi. We are the astrologers. We only see that the Savior is going to be born, but we don't know if he's an Egyptian or a Jew. Ve'amad V'kibetz Kol Amu. So Paro got up, he gathered his entire nation, he gathered his people and he said, give me any of your babies born today. And it was decreed even on the Egyptians. So once again, it's easy. We should never be tested. We should never know from such a thing again. In such a time of Hester upon him to give up. And that's exactly what happened. The very next pasuk, after Paro commands his whole nation to throw the babies into the river, tells us a man from the house of Levi went. Lahechan halach. Where did he go? Amar Rav Yehuda bar Zevina shahalach ba'atzos bito. The very next pasuk after every male into the river is Perek Beis pasuk Aleph. Vayelech ish mi Beis Levi, vayikach es bas Levi, vatahar isha vatele ben. A man from the house of Levi went. We know it's Amram. He took a woman from the house of Levi. We know that that's Yochaved, and she conceived. Why does it say vayelech? He went. It should say he married her. It should say he took her. It should say he was intimate with her. What does it mean he went? So the Gemara says halach ba'atzos bito. He went according to the advice of his daughter. Tana, Amram gadol hador haya. Amram was the gadol hador. And Rashi in the Gemara says, v'hayu hakol nishmain l'dvarav. Just like today, everyone hopefully listens to the gadol hador. Everyone listened to Amram. So this concept of having a gadol hador is not something that just came up in the 19th, 20th, 21st century. Apparently it's been around for a very long time because in Egypt, Amram was the gadol hador and his word was the final word. Hakol nishmain l'dvarav, says Rashi. Everyone listened to him. So Amram said, Kevan Sharaash, Amar Par Harasha called Beni Yodar Tishlichu. When Amram saw that Par was sent every male into the river, Amram said, Lashav Anu Amelin, we're working for nothing. What's the point of bringing children into this world? Amad Vigay Resh Asishto. Amram got up and he divorced his wife from Masechasota Yud Beis Aleph. Amdu Kulan Vigay Shos Nushosain. Everyone stood up and divorced their wives. Amar Lo Bito, his daughter. Once again, who is it who has the tenacity and courage and hope and faith to not despair? Amram, the gadol hador, everyone follows his lead, stood up and divorced his wife. Every male into the river, why should I bring children into the world? His daughter said, Abba, kasheg zeirascha yoser mishaparo. Abba, your decree is worse than Paro. Shaparo lo gazar ela al hascharim. Paro decreed on the male's death. Va'ata gazarta al hascharim va'al nekevos. You are decreeing upon males and females. You're not letting males be born, and you're not letting females be born either. Paro lo gazar ela ba'olam haza. Va'ata ba'olam haza va'olam haba. Paro decreed death in this world. But by you not allowing the neshamak to come into this world, it can't even reach olam haba. Uparo harasha safi. Paro, maybe his decree will be upheld and maybe it won't be upheld because he's a Rasha. Atot tzaddik. Tzaddik goes there because Baruch Mekayim. You're a tzaddik. Bivadai shugzei rascha miskayemes. Whatever you say is going to happen. How could you divorce mother? All of Israel just divorced their wives. It's going to be the end of Knesset Israel. Who gave him advice? His daughter. Shanemar vatigzer omer ve'ov. Like the pasuk says, when a tzaddik decrees, it's going to be upheld. And Rashi says, why did you say you decreed on the men and the female? Says Rashi, Shelo yolidu lo zachar velo nekeva. You're not allowing men to be born. You're not allowing Jewish women to be born either. Amad vehechzir es ishto. He went and he married, he took, he returned to his wife. Amdu kulan vehechzirus nishosein. Everyone stood up and took their wives. Excuse me. He remarried. That's why it says vayeichish mi beis Levi vayikach. He went according to the advice of his daughter and he took, i.e. he remarried. They sat in a special chair. A pirion is a special chair that is used for young brides, according to the Arutz Kol Gemara. And Aaron and Miriam would dance before them, and the Malachi Hashari said, Eim Habanim Smecha. I want to point out something incredible, and that is, the Gemara then says, and so to Yud Beis through Yud Gimel Aleph, and we have to start skipping now, just because I want to point out something amazing. Miriam said, in the future, my mother will have a son who will save Israel. That's when she told her father, what are you doing? You have to get back together with mother. Your child's going to be the savior. How could you divorce mother? Who didn't give up? The Kevan Shenolad Moshe, Nismale Habaya, Kol Habayis Kula Ora. I want you to look at these words. I'm bolding them. Kevan Shenolad Moshe, Nismale Kol Habayis Kula Ora. When Moshe was born, the whole house was filled with light. So I'm taking you to now the psukim in Shemos. I quoted these psukim already outside. But Yerech Ish mi Beis Levi, Vayikach Aspas Levi, a man from the house of Levi went, he took, we already explained this according to the Gemara, daughter of Levi. But Tahara Isha, the woman conceived, Vatele Ben, she gave birth to a son. Vatere Oso Kitovu, Vatitzmineu Shloshi Rechim. She saw him that he was good. She hid him for 3 months. And Rashi on Chumash says, this is the first Rashi on Chumash that we're looking at. Kishanolad nismale habayis kula ora. Rashi's quoting Maseches Ota Yabez, which I just showed you in the Gemara. Rashi on Chumash says, when Moshe was born, the whole house was filled with light. I realized something this year for the first time that I never realized before. The Havdil. Mamash Lahavdil. Much earlier today, very early in the morning, I was going, instead of baking a cake, I was going for a fast walk with Rabbi Zavlev, listening to Shir. And at the end of the shiur, the last 10 minutes, he said, this is something I've never said anywhere before because I just thought of it. Something struck me that I never noticed before this year. About 2 weeks ago, I noticed this, and I was really dumbfounded. I was blown away. If the house was filled with light when the baby was born, the Gemara says that befavorish, Kevan Shenolad Moshe Nismale Kol HaBayis Kulo Or. The whole house was filled with light. But look at the pasuk. Vatahara Isha Vatele Bain. Vatere oso kitovu. She saw the light. She saw he was good. Rashi, on the Chumash, says when he was born, the whole house was filled with light. But shouldn't it say vayiru oso kitovu? The whole family saw he was good. Everyone should have seen light beaming from the house. The neighbors, the grandparents, men, women, children. It was the koach of the nashim tzidkanios. She saw the light. She saw the hope. She saw there would be redemption. When the men were so crushed by back-breaking labor that they gave up. When all the men followed the lead of the gadol dor and divorced their wives. When it was the woman who took matters into their own hands. When it's the woman who did not give up. Vate re oso kitovu. It should say everyone saw the house was filled with light. If it's filled with light, it's filled with light. It's either light or it's not light. She was able to perceive a light, a hope, a belief in redemption, that the light would yet shine again for Am Yisrael. It was either light or it wasn't light. I shouldn't say only she saw. Everybody should have seen. But it's just reiterating the whole exploration in tonight's shir, which is that the woman in Klal Yisrael have a special koach to not only facilitate geula, but not to give up in the hope for geula. I'm going to end. I don't think there's a speaker after me. So is there a speaker after me tonight? If you're here, please speak up now, and then I'll stop right away, because I know if there is, I have to stop at 7:45, but otherwise I'm going to take 2 more minutes. Okay. The Lubavitcher Rebbe reminisced about his mother. On the day of the Yahrzeit, it is customary to talk about the conduct of a person who is remembered, so we may take instructions from their lives. In speaking of a righteous woman who did so many important and good actions in her lifetime, it is difficult to choose one incident to relate, said the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel Schneerson Zatzal. The exile that my father and mother experienced began when the old regime in Russia was replaced. At that time, they were in a state of exile in their own city. It became more acute when they were driven from their home and exiled to a strange and distant land. First they were in Russia, then they went to the Kazakhstan region. First of all, the fact that my mother joined my father in exile is a lesson. My father was the one against whom the decree of banishment was issued by the authorities. My mother was not obligated to leave her home or her city to journey to a forsaken land. She chose to do so, quote, out of goodwill and with a severe determination. She wanted to support her husband in exile. In that nefarious place, under external circumstances, however, my mother undertook a painstaking practice with great sacrifice. My father's whole being and life was Torah study. He labored in Torah, especially Kabbalah. But to disseminate his teachings to others, he had to record with ink on paper. No such thing was available in exile. There was no ink to be had. And here my mother came into the picture. In addition to helping my father with all of his unusual needs, she was involved in assuring the recording of his Torah for posterity. She learned how to make ink. She scavenged the fields for grasses and herbs. I just thought it was so interesting. Both of these pieces are modern day Jewish knothers. One deals with cake and honey. The angels give the babies cake and honey. The other deals with grasses and herbs in the field, which also relates very much to the Gemaras that we've learned this evening. And my mother painstakingly gathered those grasses and herbs with great difficulty. She added special chemicals and she concocted homemade ink. It was with that ink that my father was able to record his teachings on paper. As a result of this, she created the possibility that today we can disseminate my father's teachings in print. So still today, 5746, 1986, many Jews study his teachings and commentaries on the esoteric aspects of Torah. For this, we pay homage to the woman whose yahrzeit we observe today. And so the Gemara tells us, as we enter the season of Geula, Adar into Nisan, when we are somech Geula leGeula, bischar nashim tzidkanios, halavai, I should have a teeny fraction of the courage of these righteous women. Bischar nashim tzidkanios, and I don't say that facetiously, it's a tefillah. Bischar nashim tzidkanios, ba'oso hadar, nigalu Yisrael, mimitzrayim. I thank you so much for joining. I thank Rabbi Shabtai and the Boker Ratan Midrashah for inviting me to give this shiur. I wish you all a chodesh tov, a besuras tov, a shkol tov. Thank you so much to everybody, and laila tov. Thank you.